Well, there are moments that you doubt God's word in your life, but that's very, 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 very human. But God overrides our humanity and our frailty, and he makes it clear. Because I tell you, when the Lord speaks to you, you will know he has spoken to you. And that is the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Hearing God's Voice. And our text comes to us from John chapter 10, verses 14 through 60. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
John chapter 10, verse 14, 15, and 16. This is something that has puzzled many Christians. And today, I need to address the issue of how do you know God is speaking to you? How many of us want to hear God's voice in our lives? And sometimes we kind of fumble our way through as to knowing whether God wants something in our lives or not. And so this morning, I hope to lay down a foundation for you to process how you and God can have an understanding for him to guide you and for you to know that God is working with you and that you're listening to him and that you're making sense. Because what we want is to have the ability to authentically discern the voice of God in our lives. I mean, that's a winner all the way through, isn't it? For God to speak to your heart as a Christian, for God to speak to you and show you things and guide you. And though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil because he is with you. You know he's there. His rod comforts you, his staff. That those are the two tools of the shepherd that causes you to be in a place of guidance. But our scripture is John 10, verse 14 and 16. And there it is. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I guess he knows his sheep. But here's the key, real killer for me. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my sheep, my life for the sheep. Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. So that's you and me, because he's addressing Jews. He says, I must bring them also. He's brought us. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. May God bless the reading of his word. So my sheep hear my voice, and they hear me. My sheep know me. There's a declarations of Jesus towards you and me that sometimes we bypass, or sometimes we ask ourselves the question, how is this possible? Well, this morning, you and I are going to come to grips with some facts that will avoid what we call an automatic interpretation of what God is saying to me through signs and wonders and weird stuff that sometimes people say. Because I want to lay before you the possibilities of having a more reflective relationship with God. And so there are three key factors that you and I need to engage and you and I need to take advantage of so that you can recognize the voice of God. Somebody said to me the other day, you seem to be very calm when you speak. Well, what would you like for me to do? Jump up and down? I just speak naturally, and no screaming, no yelling. There's no need for that. But if you want me to yell, just raise your hand, and I'll yell at you. But in a very quiet way, let's explore this. Three key factors that you will be able to produce in your life so that you can recognize the voice of God. Are you ready for the first one? Because it's not hallucinations. It's something called responsible, and with that word, I know I throw everybody off. Responsible study and meditation of the Word of God. Well, how else do you think that you and I can hear the voice of God if we don't take time in the Word? And why do we say that we need to be responsible and we need to study and we need to meditate in the Word of God? Well, the Bible is not just a book that you look at and when you're in trouble, you say, oh God, what am I going to do? And you go like this and, oh, this is what God wants me to do. That's very dangerous and very childish. And yet many people do that. I'm addressing a lifestyle that will cause you to coast or walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Nothing simple, nothing light. A lifestyle that will help you hear God's voice at the turning points in your life. And sometimes in turning points that you don't even know exist. Because the Bible should not only be read, you should meditate in the Word of God. You should take time with the Word of God. And it doesn't take lots of time. Don't be scared. It may take 10 minutes, may take 20 minutes. But minding the moment that you spend in the reading and in the studying of the Word of the Lord will provide you a framework for understanding who God is and how He acts. Who is the God that you serve? Do you know who He is? You find Him revealed in the words of Scripture. He responds to you as He's responded throughout history to men and women who sought Him and looked for Him. And it gives you a framework, an understanding that this is the God who I serve. This is the God who is my Savior. This is the God who dwells in my life. As a Christian, He is there. And so the Scripture gives you this unbelievable, incredible understanding of God. God will never speak to you for you to cheat, to rob, to do harm. But He wants you to live the life that He would live if He were you. The life that He lived if He would be you. Yeah, I did not expect anybody to say hallelujah, amen. And so I tell you what I'll do. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you a test. And I'm going to give you a grade. Never will do that. You grade yourself for it. But when we say to study the Word and to know the Word, we're not talking about becoming monks. We're not talking about isolating yourself from the rest of humanity. I'm just simply saying taking it serious. In moments in your life when you read God's Word, you mind what it says. And you think it through. And you think it through. I keep telling you, you need to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And when you memorize the 23rd Psalm, you need to memorize it, but then you need to go very slowly on those words, like the Lord's Prayer or Galatians 5 or Colossians 3 and the many different passages of Scripture that address the issues of life that causes you to understand the God you serve, giving you, as I said, that framework of understanding who God really is. It's a wonderful thing. Because when you know who He is, you know how He's going to act in your life. Some of us, unfortunately, look at Scripture isolated from the rest of Scripture. We look at isolated verses and we take a verse and we say, this is the verse. But that's becoming a little bit superficial for some of us. Because what we need to do is not look at isolated verses of Scripture, but just find out who God really is. Don't try to justify something that is not there. You all know that story, and if you all know it, why am I repeating it? Well, I'll do it anyway because I got to fill in the time, right? Not really. You know, trying to find out what God wants to do in my life, and they open up the Scripture point like that, and you know the story. It says St. Judas hanged himself, and that's what it says. I said, yeah, that's horrible. That's not the right thing. That's not. So they go and they open up another place in the Scripture, and do the same, you know. Thou do the same. No. He does not want you to hang yourself. But to try to get direction from God and not taking God's word seriously and meditating and thinking it through to justify a decision, it's very dangerous. So what I'm proposing to you is an invitation from the Lord to allow the Word of God to shape, here it is, your mind and your heart in according to God's character and God's will. Oh, Lord, created me a new spirit. Lord, I need to hear your voice. Lord, let my thoughts be your thoughts. Wow. Lord, speak to me as I go through this moment in my life. Lord, how would you resolve this? Lord, your word speaks to me and your word comforts me, because no matter what I'm going through this morning, you're with me. And because you're with me, I will fear nothing evil coming upon me, because you are guiding my steps. And all of a sudden, you begin to understand who God is. He is the good shepherd. He leads you in paths of righteousness. He is with you. He's with you in the morning when you wake up. He's with you at night when you go to sleep. He's with you when you're sleeping. He never sleeps or slumbers. We do. We need it. He doesn't. The Lord guards us, takes care of us. So when we awake in the morning, it's the God, the God that allowed us to go to sleep, is the one that wakes us up in the morning. And so we open our eyes and we say, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because it's a day that the Lord made, not the world, not the chaos. You know, I use the word chaos, and immediately my mind went to the craziness of our country today. Somebody said to me, who are you going to vote for? I said, wherever I find Jesus, I'm going to vote for Jesus. And so on an issue as voting, which is coming up, some of you might already voted, you need to ask God to direct you. How would you vote? What would Scripture say? In Scripture, you find that there were very good kings and there were very bad kings. So may I submit to you that there are very good presidents and very bad presidents. What else is new in the world? So you need to ask God to help you, for the Lord to give you discernment. And this is why you go to God's word and you see the concepts and the principles of God's word that speak to you as to how you make decisions and how you are guided by the Lord. The second thing, first, is responsible study and meditation of the Bible. Take your time. Read it through. Don't be in a hurry. Just listen. Pause. Just pause. Listen. Read it and then pause and ask yourself, what do those words mean? How is that applicable to my life? Lord, speak to my heart. He will. Because the second is being sensitive. Being sensitive to the movements of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's nothing greater than the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and the Bible says that Christ comes into you, and the Father comes, and the Holy Spirit. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He is there. He is there. And you and I need to find ways in which we can rely on his insights that he gives to you and to me, by cultivating a relationship with him where you can discern the voice of the Spirit, direction in your heart, in your life. And this is not hard to do, because he's more willing to speak to you than you may be willing to hear him. But you have to take time. How can I identify the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is where maturity comes in. This is when you begin to grow up. This is when you begin to understand that God speaks to you in a very special voice. And all of us hear God's voice. Sometimes we don't hear it because of the loudness of the voices of the world and the flesh and the devil. But God is speaking to us continually. My sheep hear my voice. And it says, and they follow me. So you have the ability to listen to the Spirit of God. And it's not an emotional impulse, but a willingness to recognize and obey the promptings in your heart that come from God. And you know when God speaks to you. You know when he's there. You can differentiate in your heart when it's your own thoughts or your own emotions and the Lord speaking. So the Lord, the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of truth. He will always speak to you the truth. The wonderful thing about truth, and the horrible thing about truth, is that it's hard. Because once you know the truth, it doesn't change. It doesn't fluctuate. So the Lord guides you to truth. And it's a steady, steady guidance, an understanding of the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life as a child of God. It is the Holy Spirit placing within us his words. It doesn't make you weird, by the way. Well, some of us are born weird, but that's another thing altogether, right? But we're talking about the Lord guiding your life and listening to that voice in your heart. And he tells you and he speaks to you. He guides you. Should I work at this place? Should I work at the other place? Lord, guide me. Should I do this? Should I do the other? And the Spirit of the Lord guides you on all of those decision making. And he guides you because you're asking him to show you. Lord, if what I'm asking you, is it compatible with your character and the way you've done things? Or am I asking you to do something that is not parallel to you? Am I asking you to deviate from what is right and what is wrong? So it takes time. And it takes maturity. It's so easy for us to figure out or try to figure out shortcuts to holiness, shortcuts to doing things. But there are no shortcuts. And the Lord said directly to Joshua, this word will never depart from you. You will check in the word day and night, and you will meditate, and you will seek it. And then you have then the ability to hear God's voice in your heart, and that's what the Holy Spirit does to you and to me. And it takes time, maturity, and sometimes it takes, you know, faith of saying, yeah, this is what the Lord wants in my life. And when you believe that that's what God is saying to you, the Holy Spirit is talking to you, you make that step. And if it's the wrong step, he will straighten it out. He will show you. He will say, trust me. And he will guide us in our lives. So it's not the simple thing for you and I to differentiate between our emotions and desires and the genuine guidance of the Holy Spirit. But if you put a little bit of time, he will speak to you and you will be able to say, that's the voice of God in my heart. And you will walk through it and God will bless you and strengthen you. Trust me with this one, because all of us have seen this in our lifetime. When you believe in the moving of the Spirit of God and how he speaks to you and strengthens you. Even now he's speaking to you and he's kind of like saying, I've been telling you this, and now you're hearing it from the pulpit. Because he is speaking to us, and he's speaking to you, being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, being obedient to God's word. Nothing that he's asking you to do is contrary to his character. Nothing that he's asking you to do or to say or to speak violates God's word, but is a continuation of God's blessing in your life. But he speaks. He speaks. I'll give you one of the examples. I was driving, and usually he speaks to me while I drive. Isn't that great? I think that God has been good to many people because he speaks to me while I drive. And some of you need to hear God when you're driving, but that's another thing altogether. So this is 19, and that's the thing about when God speaks on issues of life, you will remember. I it was 19. See, we were married 1972, possibly. No, I don't think it was more than 1973. 1972. How many were not here in 1970? I don't want to know. Jennifer's 50, but I was driving with a heavy heart, asking the Lord for guidance in my life. We were very young. Of course, we were good. We were in early 20s, and our life was before us. I was going to Bible college. And so I was asking the Lord for guidance, and I was saying, Lord, what should I do? And I got in the car, and I took off. And there used to be Brew 101. Remember that in downtown L.A.? I'm really dating myself. I don't care. They made beer, and so I was driving the car. In that section, the Lord spoke to my heart, in a way, in, like a flash in front of me, like that. And it was the Bible College. And our Bible College was begun at that moment. It developed. Today, it's been 45, 46 years of me doing that. But it was like a flash that the Lord spoke to me and said, do this. It was just amazing how God just did it. And it doesn't take long. When the Lord speaks to you, oh, really? And what was that? It's the Lord. You make room for God to speak to you. About my marriage, I said, oh, Lord, if it's not your will, it's not your will. But I want it to be your will. You know how that goes? And the day that we were married, I remember she was coming down the aisle. And she was coming down, and I was up there saying, oh, dear God, what have I done, Lord? What have I done? And I remember, I've said this to her before. She doesn't hold it against me, you know, because she probably thought the same thing. What in the world am I doing myself into? And I remember I said to myself, Lord, if it's not you will, bring an earthquake and kill everybody here. Well, there are moments that you doubt God's word in your life, but that's very, 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 very human. But God overrides our humanity and our frailty, and he makes it clear. Because I tell you, when the Lord speaks to you, you will know he has spoken to you. And that is the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to make room, and you need to observe and respect the guidance, and you need to mature your understanding of how God speaks to you. Well, there's a third one. Time's going. And this is another word that you may not like, but I'll use it anyway, because the first one was responsible study. The second one was sensitivity to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And this third one is intelligent evaluation of circumstances. It's not simplistic. It's a process. You're going through something right now. So ask yourself the question, how is God working in my circumstance today? Where do I see him in my life? Because all of us come from different backgrounds and we're all facing different things. Different moments of our life. And your circumstance should not be very simplistic in the sense of, I want the Lord to give me a sign. I want the Lord to give me a green light on this. But study, what am I going through? How is God going to be glorified in what I am going through right now? Lord, I want to reflect on what I'm going through based on the relationship that I have carved with you. See, we're talking about maturity here. We're talking about growing up. We're going beyond the idea of just, you know, Judas hang himself, go do thou the same. You know? We're going beyond just that. So, Lord, would you help me to understand why am I going through what I am going through right now? And how does this circumstance that I'm going through right now helps me to glorify your name? How do I move on, Lord? How does it mature? How does it move on from here to a place of blessing and strength? You know, in my life, I've been in moments like that, and you wonder what's going on. None of us in our church take for granted the days that God gives us in this planet. None of us do. And we don't know how many years the Lord will give all of us here, but we need to make an assessment and count our days to see if in our days there is wisdom. In other words, how am I living out my life, Lord? I'm in this circumstance of life, in this time of life. It was kind of funny. We had a problem with the water that broke in the offices, and it was a flood, and we had to replace everything. And they look really nice now, but Ralph and I were committed, and not just him and I, of putting handrails going up the steps. I don't remember wanting handrails 20 years ago. And then he was doing something up there with the internet, and he almost missed the step. So he's going to put a strip in the bottom so that you know where the step is. I think, Ralph, that says something about our life and the moment that we're living. We're not in the same place we were 20 years ago. Live the moment today and ask the Lord, what is he doing and how are you spending your time? How are you evaluating your circumstance of life? This preacher was saying, we need to emphasize to those who are over 60. That's the congregation, okay? And I say 60 because I feel generous, you know. And there's going to come a moment when the Lord's going to call you home. And nobody wants to hear God calling you home. But I'm going to tell you, the brother's going down. No, you're not going down. You're going up. The perception of life for the Christian is so different from the perception of the world. I keep telling you, the moment you die, someone's going to have to tell you that you died. Because Jesus said that those who believe in him will never see death. They will never taste death. The scripture says clearly that he abolished death. The Christian does not die. Oh, yeah, your body goes down. There's no question about it. But isn't it already going down? The handrails. The strip. You cough. Oh, I wonder what that is. Oh, a blister. It's not healing right. But you need to take into account that the circumstances that you live are taken care of by the Lord, and you need to evaluate where you are and know that wherever you may be, you can glorify the Lord and say to yourself in your heart, Lord, I need you to help me because I'm in a place where if you don't intervene in my life, it's going to go sour. You know, grouchy all men. Have you heard that? And women like that? Oh, Dios nos ayude, por favor. And you don't enjoy the life because your circumstances are being viewed through the bifocals of the world. But you need to understand that there is a way in which God speaks to you through the events that you're going through right now. And you need to feel comfortable that God is there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You need to understand that the circumstances are not bad. It's part of God's plan in your life. So look at how God has been working in your life. So we all have moments in life that we feel like we're at the end of the rope, you know. And that's when you have to intelligently evaluate the circumstances and you need to say to yourself, oh, yes, here I go again. Though I walk through the valley of this circumstance, I will fear no evil. See, you go through circumstances, but the devil doesn't get you. And if you can just get rid of the word fear in your life, you will be a very content person. Because what kills us is fear. Fear of the unknown, but you and I need not fear the unknown because the Lord is with us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we will reign with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Read it. It's in the Word. So don't think that you're going through something right now that the Lord is not able to take care of. Don't think that the circumstances that you're facing are formidable and that you can't win. No, the Lord is your shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me and they hear me. And you need to say to the Lord, help me, Lord. Because the factors that we mentioned to you this morning, they work interdependently. It is the Word. It is the Holy Spirit. Is the circumstance in my life. They all go together. Have you ever had a mean boss? The Lord's there. And, you know, jokingly we say it's, you know, character building. But it is God working in your life. So you're not feeling too well today? The Lord's working in your life. Is this this continuous communion with the Lord and this understanding that he has not left you or abandoned you, that all things do work together for good. The things that may come to you are not may not be very good, but God will take them and they will come out okay. So recognizing God's voice, understanding God's voice, listening to God's voice involves this process that we've spoke to you this morning. First of all, Scripture illuminates and shapes our understanding of who God is, his character. Who is God? He'll never lie. He'll never cheat. He'll never deceive you. He's a straight God. Doesn't make fun of you. Doesn't put you down. He's not a dictator. He's your good shepherd. He loves you. Eternally loves you forever and ever and ever. And he has forgiven you of every rotten thing you've ever done in life. He died on the cross for you. If you want, because of Christ's death on the cross and forgiveness of sins, you would be smelling this morning, rot with sin and our ways. But he loves you. And so Scripture illuminates to see the love of God that surpasses our understanding. And when you go to the Scripture, it fills your heart. And so it gives you a peace that overwhelms you, that surpasses your understanding, your natural understanding. All of a sudden, you're supposed to be in chaos, and there's peace. Because God gives you that peace in your heart. Because you belong to him. He says that the ones whom God has given to Jesus, it's all of us who believe in him, no one can snap them out of his hands. The claps. So we're in his grip. So you wake up with pain, you're still there. We're still there. You wake up with questions, go ahead, question him. See God's character developing in your life and showing you how he's working in you. So Scripture illuminates and shapes our understanding of God. And then our relationship with the Holy Spirit gives us access to an experience with God. Vibrant experience with God. The Lord said, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm sending the Spirit that will be with you always. You know the word always? Always. I don't want to say he's stuck with us, but always. He doesn't desert you and walks away because you didn't misbehave in a day or because you slip and slide in your life. He's always going to be with you. He always will be you. You always can have and cultivate this experience with the Holy Spirit in your life. And he does it in so many different ways. But then the third thing would be reflecting on your circumstance today, where you can intelligently discern God working in your life. And it's not, I don't know if I can use that word. Can I use that word? Well, it's not throwing the dice. You know what I meant. I can't say that word. No, I don't think I can. Oh, it's such a blessing to be bicultural and bilingual. Sometimes you just don't know what you're saying. But it's not throwing the dice. It's the Lord that says, I got you. So we have someone in our church, will not mention name, who's being diagnosed with a severe illness. And we pray that God will help and strengthen that life. Remember your husband, Sister Sanchez. I will never forget your husband. I guess you won't either, but maybe for other reasons. He's smiling. He was in the hospital. He was not doing well. And so he told me, he asked the nurse, can you give me more so that I can be dispatched? Because sometimes you feel that way with pain. And the nurse says, no, I can't do that. And then he said, well, I guess I have to wait on the Lord. He did. And the Lord took him at the appropriate time. I can think of Brother Sam Mesa and when he was dying, how hard it was for the family. But he was out of it, so to speak, you know. And he woke up one moment and he said, "Why am I still here? I'm supposed to be with Jesus." Those are extreme circumstances. But let me just say to you this morning that you can interpret God working through circumstances intelligently and saying, "This is not the end. This is a process that I'm going through in His presence." So I need to conclude. The voice of God is recognized in a combination of those practices, a profound study of the Word, taking time, an openness to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and a conscious reflection of your experiences, your circumstance, your issue. Well, I've lived this way for so many years. I'm not the perfect model, by no means. I've made my mistakes, and yet at the same time, in spite of the mistakes, the Lord has been there, and He endeavors to correct my path and to show me what I need to do and what I need not to do. But this approach that I've mentioned to you this morning fosters a balanced spiritual life as an active relationship with God, listening and discerning His voice. And this is a continuous and intentional process. Yeah. So grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've mentioned that often, don't we? Growing in the knowledge of Jesus means becoming closer to Him. The word knowledge speaks about intimacy with God, taking time with Him. Taking time with Him. The more you know the Lord, the more you will understand where you are today. And then when it says growing in grace, grace is that which God gives you to do that you would not be able to do without Him. So He gives you grace. You can't do it, but He gives you grace. And James says that sometimes things are really rough, and then He giveth more grace. So you're covered. You're covered. Listen to His voice. "My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They hear my voice and they follow me." Listen to God, for He is actively engaging you this morning and every morning of your life and every day and every hour. Lord, we thank You this morning, for we know that You work all things right. We know, Lord, that You are our shepherd, Lord. We know that You will never, ever leave us or forsake us. You are the one who causes us to lie down in green pastures. You are the one who leads us beside quiet waters. Oh, Lord, so we know so well that You are the one who restores our soul. Lord, You know we need to be restored every single day of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for guiding us in path of doing the right things. And You do this because You put Your name on our lives, and You will never guide us in the wrong path. And yet, Lord, some of us this morning are going through valleys of shadows, valleys of difficulties and question marks. But Lord, we will not be afraid, because the fact that we're going through something today does not mean that You have left us. We're not going to be afraid, because You are with us, and You will comfort and You will guide us, Lord. Father, the greatest adventure of life is to know that You have anointed our head with oil, that You have given us, Lord, the ability to live a life that overfloweth with Your presence and Your guidance, that in the midst of difficulties, we can say, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever 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 and ever." In Jesus' name, amen, Lord. Amen, amen. God's good. God's good. So before we go into communion, we pray the Lord would touch several people. We have a list here for Art. Art, we're going to keep praying for you until Jesus comes, and that the Lord will help them with financial difficulties. We pray for Carmen and for Yvonne, Yvette. Sister Becky, we keep praying for you every day, every Sunday. We pray for Martha Garcia. She's sitting back over there. Sometimes she feels kind of down, but you're here, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus is there with you. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And Mike is having a blast up in heaven, so don't touch that. Leave it like it is. If you bring him back, he'll kick you. So just leave him there. But true. I mean, we're secure in the Lord. We need to live a life above the worldliness and the craziness. We pray for Yolanda Lillo, and we pray for Loretta, and for Grace Velasquez. Oh, Grace, we need to pray for Grace. We pray for her and Oscar. We don't forget to pray for, this is the list we use here in church, for Charlotte and Juan. I pray God will touch her. Esther, are you here today? We pray for Esther that God will touch her. Nancy's nephew, Luke, we pray for you. God will touch you. Pray for Susana Mesa. Are you here, Susana? I thought I saw you, but maybe not. But I talked about her husband today. But we pray the Lord will touch you. And we pray for the craziness of our country. We pray for elections. Let there be peace. Let us not go into the streets and riot. May the Lord give us the right person. And whoever the person is, we'll work with. There are no perfect presidents. No. We pray God will be with us in this country, which is being tried to destroy by the forces of evil. We've never seen so much against what we stand for as a Christian country. Well, no longer a Christian country, but against Christian values. We need to pray. Are you here with me? Are you okay? Shall we pray? Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would begin to work in our hearts and lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless the Guerrero family. We pray for financial difficulties to be resolved. Lord, our hearts go out to Carmen and Yvonne and Yvette, for the whole family, Lord, how you have used them in times past, and you're using them today, Lord, in ways in which you have aligned and you've prepared. We thank you for Becky. We pray for her healing. We pray for Martha that you would strengthen her as well. We pray for Yolanda Little. We pray for Loretta. We pray for Grace. We pray for Charlotte. We pray for Juan. We pray for Esther. We pray for Luke Garcia. We pray for Susana Mesa. And Lord, we pray for everyone who is in need of understanding and discerning your voice. Make it clear this week, Lord. Show exactly what needs to happen in our lives. Lord, we bring to you our country, Lord, a country that was based on foundations of Christian growth and Christian beliefs, trying to be destroyed by the forces of evil. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the elections and that would find you, Jesus, as we vote. Let us vote a vote for the people that need to guide our country, a vote for Jesus on Tuesday. Lord, guard us from riots and from violence. We pray that you would give us a peaceful country. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.